Radio, where it's all about the music.
Welcome. Welcome to Ivory Towers Radio, where it's all about the music. I'm Rick Rockwell in Washington, D.C. Co-host Jeff Siegel is in Dallas. We start off with the music this week of Alvin Lee and 10 Years After, going down to the crossroads. Jeff?
Rick, how many versions of Crossroads do you think exist in the rock and roll canon?
I have no idea. Maybe you have the Google answer for us. But
no, there must be dozens, hundreds. Almost everybody has recorded some version of that. In fact, I had even forgotten about this song when we were putting together the lineup for today's show. And I thought, this would be a nice way to begin.
it's a good thing that we're on the same page this week. And sometimes we are on the same page and sometimes we're in different chapters. But I can tell you that I was thinking the exact same thought while listening to this song. This is a song that doesn't get played all that much. People seem to have forgotten Alvin Lee. And and it's too bad that they have. Excellent guitar player. And here's a song. We have played Crossroads before, the original version of Crossroads, some shows back. But I was thinking to myself, how many people have done this cover? Could we do an entire show? Now, people might get bored with the same song over and over again, but could you do an entire show with that? Probably so.
Probably so, but you know what? We could probably do a really terrific set with three or four really great versions of Crossroads.
Or maybe just some variations on the versions, not exactly the same song. Typical for blues songs that sometimes the one verse is here is the same, but then there are some other ones that are different. People add on. You've talked about that before in some of the things you've written.
Right. Well, because the oral tradition of the blues, which is one reason why there has been so many problems with royalties in the oral tradition of the blues. Nobody wrote the song. You listened to a song, and then you changed it the way you wanted to. And there was absolutely so that Robert Johnson could do his version of Crossroads and somebody else at the same time could do their version, and then 10 years later somebody who heard Robert Johnson do a different version, and all of a sudden in 1963 Led Zeppelin could do it. Or whatever.
Well,
whatever band would have been around in 1963.
That's good foreshadowing.
Yeah, but my point is, without any notes being written down, without any music written down.
Good foreshadowing for this show, because we want to talk about music borrowed in blue throughout this entire show. We don't necessarily have a theme, but I'm thinking it's time for some L.A. version of the blues.
Said it's time to close now. I guess I better go now. I really like to stay here all night. The cars crawl past, all stuffed with eyes. Shared there a hollow glow. Your brain seems bruised with numb surprise. Still one place to go. Still one place to go. Let me sleep all night in your soul kitchen. Wonder man, the old gentle stone. Turn me out in a wonder, baby. Stumbling in the neon. says it's time to close now. I know I have to go now. I really wanna stay here all night, all night, all
cash, but you got it.
could be. So what do you say, what do you say? I'm willing to pay, begging to pay. Now what'll it take, what'll it take? To get me a break, give me a break.
Very good question from Loxley. Why not me here on Ivory Towers Radio, where it's all about the music? We started that set off with one of my least favorite bands of all time, The Doors, from Soul Kitchen off their 1967 debut called The Doors. And in between, currently my favorite Norwegian rock band, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, my Norse is not very good, Madrugada. That's a song called On Your Side, from their most recent studio album called The Deep End in 2005. And Rick, what did you think of Loxley?
I think they've been listening to some Doors. There's a, if you didn't catch the riff there in that song, there's a Doors riff in that song, and I'm sure you put it in there for a reason.
That's the reason I put it in there. I've been accused of being tone deaf many times, but there are some things that are obvious even to me.
What is that? That's a new release from Loxley. Any background on them?
Yes, they're a Wisconsin band. That's another reason why they're in there.
Cheeseheads. My fellow cheeseheads are here.
Four young men from Wisconsin. The reviews I saw that were very, very good. The songs, that song's a little more poppy. Some of them are a little punkier. They've been compared to the Small Faces, oddly enough. Everybody who was listening last time, we were talking about the Faces. I liked it. I think I don't know if they play real well yet, but I think if they can kind of solve some of those logistical issues, I think they might have a future of being not too bad. What do you think?
There's some impressive stuff throughout this set, and I wanted to get to Madrugada, and I'm glad you gave us the origins of that group, because I was wondering if that was actually a Spanish name, because in Spanish that would mean dawn. So I don't know. Those Norwegians, maybe they're using Spanish names. They're trying to fool us. They're trying to make us think that they're Canadian, right?
Well, that metal band that you played in one of the last couple of weeks, weren't they Scandinavian as well?
H.I.M., yes, a Finnish band, also very popular here in the States.
So there's apparently a really interesting rock and roll scene going on in Scandinavia. Who would have thunk it? And they're all singing in English, too.
And you're not hearing that on over-the-air radio. You got to come to the Underground Podcast to get with the Scandinavian rock scene. That's what we're about.
I'll be serious here for a moment. But that Madrugada sounds like there was a time that would have been played on the radio.
Everything in that set, well, The Doors was played on the radio. But that tells you something. The Doors, that band, played on the radio in the 1960s. These two newer bands with sounds that aren't that off of the Doors canon can't get played. Don't know what that means, but we do know what it means. We talk about it way too much, so let's just move on. Maybe we can ask the listeners if they know what it means, or if we've complained too much about over the air radio.
Well, we all know that one of the things we like to do on Ivory Towers Radio, besides our musicology lesson, and we've already had two in the first, we've only played one set of music, is to take requests, comments, great thoughts from our listeners at our email address, ivorytowersradio@att.net. That's ivorytowers, TOWERZ, radio, all one word, @att.net.
Hey, now it's time for Jeff's New Wave.
Yeah!
1970s, Between the Lines on Jeff's New Wave here on Ivory Towers Radio. And Rick, that is quite possibly one of the oddest New Wave punk songs you'll ever hear, because the band had been around since 1967, playing, for lack of a better term, progressive, the 12-minute song, progressive rock, that was popular at the time, and some of its incarnations included various members of Hawkwind. They were so desperate for a gig that they did a single for Stiff Records in 1976, sounding, almost punk.
Jeff, I have to say, you're taking me to school this week. This is a band that I was there during that period of time. I was never aware of the Pink Fairies, but they had me rocking and rolling during that song.
I hadn't been aware of them either. This is all part of my research. When you, even as good as I am, if you only do one single for Stiff Records in 1976, I'm probably not going to get it at the time. I'm going to have to find it during my extensive research so that our listeners can hear only the most interesting music here on Ivory Towers Radio.
But we never played them on the infamous WNUR, and they would have been a band that we would have played.
But like I say, only one single.
Still in all, a rockin' single.
That's true. Now I'll have to go see if I can find the B-side. Hey, do you want to play some more? Since we played some old music, do you want to play some new music?
Some new music that fits that tone.
She's yours, oh please tell me I'm wrong again. It's all in a day, so what can you say? Just sleep on your shoes with the window box blues, and it's time you choose. Oh yeah. Petrol, that's what I heard. And it's alright.
only live once here on Ivory Towers Radio. The Strokes, and Ivory Towers' favorite, of course. That was off their most recent album called First Impressions of Earth, which the critics did not like. You may decide for yourself. And we started off with Baby Fratelli, a song from the Fratellis. Almost brand new music. The record came out in March. The record is called Costello Music, and almost none of the songs have anything to do or sound anything like Elvis Costello. So that must be a joke. The Fratellis, a Glaswegian band, I believe, have that sort of sense of humor.
I'm glad you set us straight on that, because I actually read some reviews that seemed to say that the album was actually some ode to Elvis, that obviously that they had listened to Elvis and they got their inspiration from him. So I'm glad, as one of the great Elvis fans, that you have set us straight on that, Jeff.
Well, I'm going to say that, and you know, I could be wrong. I've been wrong many times, but I am fairly knowledgeable about Mr. Costello, who, by the way, I have a bone to pick with, which we may get to later.
Bone to pick with Elvis Costello? That's almost impossible.
He's doing Lexus commercials.
Well, yes.
He doesn't need to do that. He knows better. But anyway, my point is, he's done very little skiffle music. And he's done a lot of different and interesting things, but this sounds, and I don't mean this in a bad way, this sounds something almost more like Herman's Hermits. You know, if they're making fun of somebody, that Henry VIII I am kind of sort of thing, than Elvis. But that's neither here nor there. Did you like that Strokes song?
You know I love the Strokes.
Why did this record get such bad reviews?
I have no idea. Maybe because, as to quote a certain person who I know quite well.
I think I did say that the other day, didn't I?
And we haven't even told people the quote. The quote that you said was, "Music critics are the most closed-minded people in the world." And I think you said it in the midst of a music review, which begs the question of, are you open-minded?
I try to be. And that's musicology lesson number three. We're going to talk about criticism. The most difficult thing about being a critic is being open-minded. Because, to pick Elvis Costello, if in a perfect world, I would prefer that Elvis did his first three records over and over and over and over again, because I think those are the three best. But since he's not going to do that and be Elvis Costello, not have a career for the next 30 years, you have to look at every new record, every new song, and go, okay, what's he trying to do here, and does it succeed, and is it worthwhile to do? And that, to me, is the heart of criticism. It's not, well, I don't like the way this sounds. He should have made this record. That's why rock critics, I think, are so closed-minded.
Well, how about some relatively new music that people hopefully are open to and like?
Sounds good to me.
Tell us something about what comes up next?
Oh, yeah. It's Robert Gray's most recent studio record, which actually has an anti-Iraq song on it, but this isn't it.
This is something that's called I'm Walking.
Shame on me. Day by day, his love goes down in flames. pilot all aboard. Take my seat right way back. And watch this train move down the track.
Got bunny, baby, you look so sweet and cunning, baby, way down inside, woman, you need love, woman, you need love, you got to have some love, I'm gonna give you some love, I know you need love, just got to have love, you got to have some love. You make me feel so good. You make me feel all right. You make me feel so good. Oh, you make me feel all right. You make me feel so good. You make me feel all right. She's so nice, she's so nice. 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 You are fretting. And I am petting. Lot of good things, oh, you ain't getting. Baby, way down inside. Woman, you need love. I know you need love. You just gotta have some love.
Muddy Waters, you need love. Here on Ivory Towers Radio, we started out with Robert Cray from his most recent studio album, I'm Walking, not the Fats Domino song. That's off of a record called 20. And in between the second Sonny Boy Williamson, Rice Miller, one of the great harp players of all time, continuing a week's long discussion of great harp players, a song called Bring It On Home. And Rick, that Muddy Waters tune, that didn't sound like his usual Chess band. Was that off one of those rock and roll all-star backup bands?
I'm not sure if that is off a compilation release. And as far as I know, that is the Chess band, the normal backing band. And who is his guitarist in that Chess band normally?
Sometimes him.
Willie Dixon, right?
No, Willie Dixon's the bass player.
Ah.
This is actually his band in the 50s. Oh, musicology lesson again. His band in the 50s was the Hall of Fame of Blues. It was Willie Dixon on bass, Little Walter on the harmonica. Hubert Sumlin, who was Howlin' Wolf's lead guitar player, played for Muddy for a while, also did several other well-known guitar players. Muddy plays a pretty mean lead guitar himself. But no, it didn't have quite that edge, so that's what I was kind of curious about. But hey,
well,
he could have been going for a different style. I should be more open-minded.
We have been talking about Borrowed in Blue during this program. Can you give us a little bit of background on the fact that Rice Miller borrowed his name in some ways?
This is one of those wonderful things about the blues that I had alluded to earlier. As I say, it's an oral tradition, and that also meant you could appropriate another player's name. And there was actually a harp player named Sonny Boy Williamson, who was fairly well known in the Delta, and Rice Miller, who was actually a better harp player than the first Sonny Boy Williamson, borrowed the first Sonny Boy Williamson's name. There are several stories about why this happened, one of which is that the second Sonny Boy wanted to get some gigs, so he just lied about who he was. The other stories are that the first Sonny Boy let him get away with it because there were bill collectors, jealous husbands, and the sort looking for the first Sonny Boy, so he figured out who Sonny Boy Williams lived for. Milo, by the way, is a big Sonny Boy Williamson fan, as you can tell by his barking right there.
For those folks who don't know, the dogs make their appearance after many weeks away from Ivory Towers Radio, and welcome them back.
We hadn't been giving too many musicology lessons, and they just had no interest. If we're not going to give a musicology lesson, they don't want to participate.
Well, another short musicology lesson is that a couple of songs in that particular set, since we're talking about Borrowed and Blue, some people may know some of those songs with the Led Zeppelin versions, where those blues players didn't get much credit for their work.
Which brings us to the royalties discussion, which we should probably save for another time, because that's an entire show all in itself.
Well, we've talked about payola on this show before. We probably do need to talk about royalties at some length, and we can get into the whole Creedence Clearwater issue and some other things along those lines. But maybe, Jeff, if we send enough emails and if we beg and we do enough hosannas, maybe you will write a nice piece for us on the Ivory Towers blog about this, and then people don't have to listen to the podcast for us. And since we're talking about the blog, let me just give folks the address where they can find us. You can find us at http://ivorytowers. That's Towers with a Z or a Z and all one word, .blogspot.com. One more time, ivorytowerswithaz.blogspot.com. And we don't just talk about music on the blog. We talk about lots of things, culture, politics, sports, you name it. It's there, Ivory Towers, the blog. But right now, it's Ivory Towers, the radio show, the podcast, the underground podcast, where it is all about the music.
From the vault, it's Cover Me.
All right, it is rock and roll.
Well, it's been a long time as a rock and roll. Been a long time as a digital stroll. Let me get you back, let me get you back, let me get you back. Baby, where I come from. Love. Can't guarantee the blast of no love. Carry me back, carry me back, carry
Well, there's nothing like The Killer to get us going here on Ivory Towers Radio. How often do you hear a new song from Jerry Lee Lewis? But there is a new or old song from Jerry Lee Lewis with, I don't know if that's a cheat or not, Jeff, but this is a new release from Jerry Lee Lewis, one of these things that's so common these days where folks just line up a crew of all stars, come in, do your song with me, and I actually like that number, more or less a duet, Jerry Lee Lewis and Jimmy Page, who wrote that song, Rock and Roll, and of course, The Killer had to twist it his own way. It's now about Louisiana.
I have a question to ask you. Is Jimmy Page playing the guitar with his feet there, you think?
I don't know, but I don't know if The Killer can do that anymore, but he sure sounds like he can.
He's got to be, you know, this is another one of those things about rock and roll which I will never figure out. There are any number of fellows, Jerry Lee Lewis tops the list, who, given the way they've lived their lives, the things they've done during their life, the bad choices that they have made, should not be here at this age to do that sort of thing, and yet somehow they are.
And I think in that particular song, his bandmate there, Jimmy Page, you could say the same thing about him. Someone who's partied harder than just about anybody. When you've got bandmates dropping, because literally, into the ground because of that. All those things about Jimmy Page. Was he really involved in satanic masses, or was that just hype that the band put out? Who knows? And there are all those things about Jerry Lee, that some of those investigative reports about his marriages that will make your skin crawl a bit. So those two guys have got some things to live down, maybe. But they're rocking all the way out.
Well, now, we know Jerry Lee Lewis wasn't a good husband. I've always tended to believe that the satanic ritual stuff was junior high school hype.
Well, I've always believed it, too. But some people still take it seriously, believe it or not.
Yeah, well, they probably stick it out their copy of Abbey Road to see which way Paul and John are walking across the crosswalk.
Well, since we're talking about great bands, Jimmy Page, the leader of what started out to be called the New Yardbirds, but then became Led Zeppelin. This is a guy who's been trying to find a way to be a solo act ever since Zeppelin, and unlike some of his bandmates, just never really settled down. But there's a cut that I want to play from a great recording, couple night stand that Jimmy Page put together with the Souths, the Black Crows. And I'll tell you, if this isn't Zeppelin Arisen, I don't know what is.
Oh,
Say You Will, and The Disregard of Timekeeping, two cuts from a group that goes by the name of Bonham. That's Jason Bonham, the son of John Bonham, the drummer for Led Zeppelin. And Jason has sat in with Zeppelin a few times when the band tried, but abortively so, to get themselves back together. But I think a couple of live appearances. And that whole set is more or less Zeppelin post-Zeppelin. So I think some people can see this is another one of those bands that great talent involved, but sometimes the band is more than the sum of the parts. We had started off with Jimmy Page and the Black Crowes playing a Zeppelin classic, Custard Pie. Also, Robert Plant in there, Tall Cool One, with a ton of samples from various Zeppelin songs in that one. And John Paul Jones, the bass player for Zeppelin, with one of his solo pieces, Daphne. So, Jeff, enough Led Zeppelin for you?
I'm reminded of two things, Rick. First off, I'm reminded that I no longer own a lava lamp. And secondly, I'm reminded of the night before my first day of my senior year of college at Northwestern University, when someone in the dorm apartment building where I was living was playing Stairway to Heaven as loud as their stereo would go, with the windows open, over and over and over again.
Well, I have to point out, for those interested in lava lamps, all of those tracks give us things from the 80s, the 90s, and actually the Black Crowes with Jimmy Page is something, I think it's only 3 or 4 years old, so maybe lava lamps are alive and well, and I think lava lamps came back, didn't they, Jeff?
They did come back. I seem to recall seeing a lava lamp somewhere and going, you know, you have to give whoever came up with the idea credit because they're making money off of it again. Boy, isn't that what makes us a great country, huh?
Sometimes, all right. Sometimes.
All right, Rick. Well, listen, I know everybody loved this show very much, just like they loved last week's show and the week before that. But sometimes, because of the press of business, because you have to work for a living, whatever, you can't listen to every show. You can't find it on the blog. But you can download it from the server, because that's the kind of guys we are here on Ivory Towers Radio. If you want to get into our archive, go back and see just how bad I was in the first couple of shows. It's easy to do. Just go to http://www.public.box.net, /Ivory Towers Radio. And that will give you every show we've done. What is it now, 26?
We're halfway through a year.
Oh, baby. I guess it's almost time to take a vacation or retire or something. Isn't it what they do on real radio?
Well, not a vacation. Time to go to the shop.
Caution. Now it's time for Rick's Metal Shop.
I don't know what it is I like.
Communication Breakdown, 1969, off of the very first Led Zeppelin release. Some people think that song and that album could actually be the beginning of heavy metal. Now, the band denies it. They say we did not invent heavy metal, but all the things the band did live, there's things they wore, lots of things. Everyone said, well, heavy metal was copying from Zeppelin, and Zeppelin was the biggest band at the time when heavy metal was born. That song and that album. Oh, and the dogs. I think the dogs are liking it.
Once again, no, Marlo disagrees with you.
This is the first time Marlo has ever disagreed with me, I have to tell you.
Well, in terms of, you know, the beginning of heavy metal, you know, in my house anyway, Marlo is a much better heavy metal expert and much more knowledgeable about heavy metal than I am. Oh, man, my head is still pounding. Can we play some more Led Zeppelin and Led Zeppelin-related songs?
Well, it took us this long, actually, to get to the true Zeppelin, but I wanted to point out heavy metal, not as a term until 1971, but some people think the very name of the band is what helped create that. And trying to describe their sound, people came up with the term heavy metal. For several years, it was in the lexicon until it actually made print. We've talked about this before on the show. And so there's the argument. Led Zeppelin may be the beginning of heavy metal, maybe not. Robert Plant, Jimmy Page say absolutely not, but others disagree. So there you go. And I guess Marlo's in the disagreement group.
Marlo's in the disagreement group. So you and Marlo do disagree on this.
This could be actually the first time that Marlo and I have ever disagreed. And
okay.
I'm a little shaken by it, I have to tell you.
Well, I'll tell you. Maybe I get him to write something for the blog.
If you can get Marlo to write something for the blog, that would be a big deal.
Well, you know, he's busy. He's going to get his haircut tomorrow. He's got things to do. But I'll talk to him and see what he wants.
You know, my guess is Marlo doesn't want his haircut now because after all of that 70s music or music that evoked the 70s, he's going to want it to grow longer.
He's probably going to want to grow longer. He's probably going to want a tattoo and an earring or two, perhaps.
Doesn't he have an earring or two?
No, we don't go in for that in this household. Hey, and the reason being, he doesn't have a job. If he could afford to buy his own jewelry, it would be no problem.
Well, I think we have talked ourselves out here this week, Jeff.
I think we have to. Hey, please forgive us if you're still listening.
We want to thank you for listening. Thank all of our listeners for listening. I want to thank my co-host, Jeff Siegel. I want to thank composer-announcer Michael Galelli. I'm Rick Rockwell. Thank you for listening. And to evoke a little bit more of the blues and where Zeppelin may have come from, here's a little bit of Howlin' Wolf to take us out.
Well, thank you. The border, my second time.